but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Tomorrow on the show, Pat Casey, former Oregon State baseball coach, will be joining us 4 o'clock. Just confirmed, Stephen. Put it in the books. Pat Casey, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Be a good conversation with the guy who started it all at Oregon State. The Tallahassee Democrat, great newspaper down in Tallahassee, Florida. They do a good job covering Florida State. Their go-to on that is Peter Holland Jr., who is joining us now. Peter Holland Jr., are you at Governor's Square Mall? Where are you in Tallahassee?
I'm definitely nowhere near Governor's Square Mall, I can tell you that.
Appreciate you coming on. Give us a little flavor. I lived in Tallahassee for maybe 3 or 4 months, and I loved it there. It was muggy weather for me. I wasn't from there. Did you grow up near there, or is this just a stop for you on your career trajectory?
This is just another spot for me. I was coming from Ohio, actually, when I got the offer to come back to Florida, because I'm from Florida originally, just not in the Tallahassee area. I'm from South Florida. I'm
okay.
From the Miami, Miami-Fallout area, but I've lived in like 4 different states since then, after I graduated. I just found my way back to Florida in a way when I got the opportunity to cover Florida State, so there was an opportunity that I couldn't turn down. So here I am about a year later.
Yeah, you reminded me of something, because when I lived there and I would say I live in Florida, people would say to me, well, you live in Georgia, Florida. That like there's a real Florida and then there's Georgia, Florida. But the Panhandle beaches were nice and not a bad drive either.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to the Panhandle beaches yet. But I definitely understand that Tallahassee is basically the Georgia, basically Georgia, if you want to go in, because it's really up right there. Me being a South Florida kid, I've always tried to separate from all the other cities in Florida. There's Florida and then there's South Florida. I always try to separate the two because we're different down there, so.
Give us an idea. The sports fan in Ohio, where you're in Northeast Ohio, you're covering sports, versus maybe the Tallahassee sports fan. Is there a difference in that fan base?
There's a huge difference for sure. In Ohio, because I lived in Canton, I mean, you're basically in Cleveland Browns country. They love the Cleveland Browns over there. And also, you got the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that was pretty much part of my coverage is Pro Football Hall of Fame and high school coverage. So it's football all day, every day up there. So, I mean, can you blame them? Because you're in the birthplace of football. So they live, they eat, sleep, breathe football over there. While coming here to Tallahassee, obviously it's more diverse. And when it comes to sports, and you're in a college town environment. So I guess that's pretty much the main difference, and obviously the weather. I mean, you can't argue with that. Ohio, give me Florida weather, Ohio any day.
Yeah, I know.
Especially in December. So,
amen.
That one I definitely don't miss.
Peter Holland Jr.
I love Ohio,
is,
but that's the one I avoided.
Yeah, Peter Holland Jr. is our guest. All right, before I move back to Tallahassee, let's talk about Canton, because you got a chance to know and cover the Pro Football Hall of Fame. For a lot of people out here in the Pacific Northwest, we haven't been there and we haven't seen it. And what were your impressions being around the Pro Football Hall of Fame and sort of the village of the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
My first impression is, okay, it's not big. I mean, it's really, really small, smaller than what we imagine. I mean, that's basically kind of the highlight of the city itself is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think it's just once there's really nothing else going on like that. I mean, they'll have events here and there, but I think the really main attraction is obviously enshrinement week, when all the Hall of Famers, former and current and the incoming enshrinement all getting together, and all the fans getting together, and to celebrate for the new class. That's when everything is get packed up and get busy. They'll have other events too here and there, especially like with Black College Football Hall of Fame games. The USFL hosted at Tom Benson Stadium as well when I was there. Obviously, you got the state championship that's held there every year. You know, there's always going to be something that going on in the Hall of Fame Village for sure. I mean, they brought a Ferris wheel. That's kind of funny too. They try to make it more of a carnival that they acquired in Cleveland, and I don't even think they even used it. So I think that's just something that they try to make it more than just an attraction, but to become more of an everyday thing.
We're talking to Peter Holland Jr. He covers Florida State baseball for the Tallahassee Democrat. Peter, the top seeds fell in the baseball regional. Number one, Vanderbilt, out. Number two, Texas, out. How is Florida State feeling about coming to Corvallis to play Oregon State?
Well, I think Florida State is feeling really good at where they are right now. I think they really, especially after beating Mississippi State like they did, I think what's really crazy about with Florida State is I still don't think they played their best yet throughout the tournament, at least just from the batting lineup in particular. Your top three batters, your top three hitters, which is Max Williams and Axe Lotus, they've been on and off at bat, and I think that just from their pitching, with Jamie Arnold performing well like he did, and then Wes Mendez and went off, I think they're really in a good situation, because we still have not seen the best out of this Florida State team. And I think that's going to be a very good opportunity for them to see what they look like going to the other side of the country in Oregon and playing in a different environment. I think that's going to be interesting to see.
Link Jarrett, coach at Florida State, was ejected in a game against Mississippi State. And what happened in that exchange, and how did that go down? And, man, this has been a really spicy regional round for baseball. A lot of apologies and some ejections.
Oh, man. So this is what I gathered, and also just want to give a shout out to my co-beat writer, Liam. He was actually there. He was actually shooting when all of this happened. He saw the whole thing and heard everything verbatim. So we were all figuring, I was in the press box with the other media guys when it happened. So here's what I gather, and this is what based on what Link said after the game. Before the game, or even the week of the regional, the umpires, the officials spoke about unsportsmanlike conduct, and there was a low tolerance policy on that. And they want to make sure that we're all clear, that make sure you control your dugout and make sure that nobody is doing anything egregious on the field. We're going to keep it classy, keep it professional, no misbehavior, all of that. So I don't know if you saw the game, but you saw the Mississippi State pitcher, after he threw a strikeout, he was talking back and forth in the second inning. He was just talking back and forth with the dugout. And then after that strikeout, I mean, he said something. I don't know the exact words that was said. I heard mixed emotion, but I know there was curse words in there. And Link saw it, and he tried to call out the umpire, and like, hey, are you not going to do anything about this? Like, I'm controlling my guys. Are you not going to enforce the rules that you just told us a while ago, like earlier? So I think that was kind of the conversation, or I don't know what was said, but I think that was something that was escalated, that if you want us to keep the unsportsmanlike, like you said, or enforce it, then keep that same energy when something does go on. If one of our players said something crazy, but we're getting penalized, but you're not going to do the same for the Mississippi State side. You want to not make it one-sided. So Link Jerry reflected on the whole situation, saying that he lost his cool that time. He was going off the bat for his players. I think that's what people really love about Link Jerry. He's a player's coach, and he's always going to go back for them. And he's a former player himself, so he understands thoroughly what goes on. But now that he got time to reflect on what happened, and he finally got, after cooling down when he got ejected, he just thought about the outcome of it and what could have happened if they lost that game, and it's because of him. Because they were down 2-0, and they weren't hitting well before Cal Fisher hit a home run, and then that tied the game, you know, and what would happen if they lost? They had to go back to Dick Houser and play a game 7. You know, those little finer details, which Link Jerry preaches to us all the time about the little things, those little details can make a whole difference of the game or the outcome of the game. And he felt very, very guilty about the whole thing. I don't think he's apologetic about the whole thing because, again, he's defending his players and he's doing what he should do, and I definitely commend him for that. I don't think he did anything wrong, but I think it's just once he got into with the umpire, I think everything would have been great if he didn't turn his back on the umpire. If you saw the video,
yeah.
You know, once he got done, I thought everything was going to be done. He said what he had to say. They both disagreed to the street and just get back to the dugout. It is right when he just turned his back and he said something, and that's when he said, "That's it, get out of here." I think that one thing that he said was just more than enough to say, "Hey, get out of here." I think if he just kept walking, I think he would have still been coaching for the rest of the game.
Florida State will be visiting Oregon State on Friday, game one of their Super Regional Best of Three series. We are talking with the beat reporter who covers Florida State. Let me ask you this, Peter. The strength of this Florida State team, what would you say it is?
Pick your poison. There's a little bit of a mixture of a lot of strength of this team. I like what I'm seeing from the pitching. I think the starting pitchers has been really, really been good. From the starters with Jimmy Arnold being an ace base pitcher, I think you might see him maybe in game 2. Wes Mendez has been coming along. He had a career game that led to the victory against Mississippi State on Sunday. And Joey Valentino, I don't think he has been pitching well as of lately, but I think he's the type of guy where you get him on. Now you got three starting pitchers who have been using that same rotation all year long. And I think what's really been coming along too has been the bullpen. You know, seeing Joe Charles being that closer, and seeing guys like Peyton that's just been pitching well in late in games when they relieve for the starters. So I think that might be a strength. But at the same time, it's kind of hard to – you can make a strong argument about their batters. I mean, I told you earlier, I don't think their best hitters haven't been playing to their level yet. I mentioned Max Williams and Alex Lotis, who was one of the finalists for the Golden Spike, I believe. They have been hitting well as of late. I think they're still batting a .300, but what's also great about the lineup is that you got a freshman, Miles Bailey, who's 6'4", 260 pounds, built like a end, who's just knocking home runs out of the park left and right. So you can definitely say that's why I would say pick your poison. You can look at the batting lineup and just say, man, they have a whole batting nine that could really be a threat for the pitchers. And I can even bring up another guy to look out for is Chase Williams, who's a speedster. He's a speed demon. I mean, he's not the hitter, but once you get him on base, it's gonna be got to be careful. Keep an eye on him because he's gonna steal bases for you because of his speed. He can just get to you as soon as you turn your head. He's already in second base, and that you don't want that. So there's just so many options out there. I think it just really just tell you that Florida State, I don't even think you can pinpoint which is their biggest strength or the other. I think this is just a good all-around Florida State team when they're at their best.
Let me ask you this. Are they putting their pants on one leg at a time, or are they jumping in with two legs? That's how good you're making them sound. What are they worried about? Give us a worry or a possible weakness.
Oh, man. Okay.
You just gave them the national championship. Come on. You and I spitballing here. Where's the weakness of this team?
I'll give you a concern. How about that? My biggest concern for Florida State right now is that I figured that they left a lot of runs on the board just as what we've seen. Mm-hmm. Like the Mississippi State game, they could have put up more runs than what we saw. I mean, they got 5 runs, but they probably could have gotten more if after that second out, when you're down to your lower batting lineup, or even to your top of the lineup, can you get that hit to get run, especially when the bases are loaded, or if you got 2 runners on base, are you going to get at least that one hit to get more runs? And unfortunately, they've been on and off about that, especially from their top 3 hitters that I mentioned. So that's kind of been concerning. I'm also really concerned with Joey V. I mentioned Joey V. Volantino, that he hasn't been playing up to his standard as a reason. He made all ACC as a transfer from USF, but as of recent, he hasn't really been pitching well as compared to what Jamie Arnold with Mendez has been doing. And I'm just kind of concerned of where would you put him in that starting lineup, when you're going to need him, especially if it comes to game 3. So I think that's kind of a concern on that end. They have a good bullpen, but they haven't really reached deep into the bullpen. That's a more of a concern. I don't know if I would say it's a weak spot, but I just think that there's something that you will be concerned, especially when you're playing in another environment, because you're playing, like I said, you're playing on the other side of the country in Oregon, and they played at Cal, but at the same time, they didn't play well at Cal. So you just hope that they just don't play down to their level or what you expect them to be, and they end up losing because of that.
Peter Holland Jr., it'll be Florida State playing in Corvallis. Thank you for joining us. Get to those beaches, man.
I'll keep that in mind. Thanks.
All right. There he goes. There he goes, Peter Holland Jr. Steven, do you like that? Do they put their baseball pants on one leg at a time? Or for crying out loud, do they jump into them 2 legs at a time?
How about at the end there, he says, as long as they don't play down to their competition. He was very confident. He was very confident.
Shots fired.
Very confident.
Shots fired.
Very confident in that Florida State bunch there. I liked it. I liked
pull
liked
that clip. You should pull that clip.
Play it, put play it for on, Mitch Cannon.
Hey, put it on the socials. Pat Casey on tomorrow's show, 4 o'clock. I want you here for it. We're going to talk about the origin of this baseball story at Oregon State. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.